You hear me? It's got a. I'm getting messages from Zoom for some reason popping up in front of me here. I'm sorry if I'm punching at it, but we are very thankful to be able to be a part of this meeting tonight, and we're very thankful for the prayer that was just offered, and thankful for you good brethren and your and the leading of the hymns tonight. I continue to express to anyone that that I know has had my family in your prayers, certainly during the earlier part of this year. Brother James asked me how my mother was doing. She's doing real good. She's made almost a full recovery as far as being able to be independent in our home and is able to go out I just want to make sure that I express how thankful that me and my family are for all the prayers that were offered by so many of you for her and for us during that time. And we thank you and we love you for them. I want to read to you tonight from a very familiar portion of scripture, and that is the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to begin to read with verse 1. And the word of the Lord reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." And it's that thought in the second verse that if the Lord would be with us tonight, we would like to make some further comments about. And that is that by it, the elders obtained a good report. I trust that we understand tonight that a report is a record that is made, that is kept by witnesses and others that observe a certain action. And, you know, the word report, if I just were to think about the first report that comes into my mind, I suppose that if any of us have ever been involved in a traffic accident, and there had to be an officer called to the scene, in order for the insurance companies to be able to weed through who was at fault and so on and so forth and who had to pay for the damages, a report had to be made by that officer. And that report included the observation of the witnesses that saw the accident and that were involved in it. And a report was made. And that report recorded what went on at that point in time, at that place where that accident happened. And the same is true in the context of the report that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. And that is that there were things done by people that are recorded in the scriptures. And they're recorded and preserved for us that we may read of the lives of men and women that have come before that that endured times and seasons, that endured trials and temptations. And I know sometimes the devil can convince us that the things that we face are sometimes and somehow unique to only us, and that nobody else knows what we're going through and nobody else knows what we're experiencing. Well, I believe that the Bible is full of written accounts of men and women that weathered very trying seasons in regards to their walk with the Lord. And Hebrews chapter 11 records specific instances of the lives of people and what they did at those times whenever they faced certain trials, whenever they walked the walks of life. And here the scripture tells us in this chapter that through faith and by faith that they walked the walk with the Lord here in this world, and the said walk that they kept, and the faith that they kept, that that there remains a report and a record of their life. Now, I trust that we're all that's on this call tonight, if we're listening in to a Primitive Baptist Zoom call on Wednesday night, I trust that we understand that this report that was made and this record that was kept of the lives of these men and women, that this was not a good report that earned them a state of righteousness in the throne rooms of heaven, that somehow granted them access into glory, and that without their faith and without the exercise of their faith, that they would have been cast into everlasting torment into hell, and would have been cast into everlasting fire. Praise be unto the Lord that the report and the record that is made with us in the courtrooms of glory, that report and that record that is made for us is made in such a way so that we are judged by the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that it is by His righteousness that we have been made righteous, and we stand before God as if we have never sinned. And every record that has ever been made of our actions of sin has been put away. The record has been removed. The word of the Lord asks the very question, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. There is no record that stands in the courtrooms of glory that casts any of our sins against us. We've been made righteous by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the report, and that is the record of where we stand in the courtrooms of glory. But make no mistake about it, the way in which we live and the way in which we conduct ourselves in this life, there is a record and a report that is left behind us. The Apostle John records it this way in Revelation chapter 14 in the 13th verse, where the scripture speaks unto us, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. We do not believe that our works follow us into glory. Our works, praise be unto the Lord, are left behind. They don't follow us into glory. The only work that follows us into glory is the work that was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, our works that we do here in this life, they do follow us in regards to our name and what we leave behind here in this world. And a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And the name in which we've been given by our family, certainly I didn't choose my name. I didn't choose my first name. I didn't choose the family that I was born in. But I can certainly influence the reputation that my name has based upon my actions. And here in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we have example after example of men and women that because of their work and because of their faith in the Lord and their trusting in Him, that they obtained a good report. The first example that you have in verse 3, and it's not an example of anyone specific, but it's an example of an occasion, and it's an example of an action that is done that is certainly bears reflection upon us if it matches who we are. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I understand that this very verse teaches us about the faith that we have in regards to God creating this world. We trust and we believe, I trust that we believe, that in accordance with the Genesis account of creation, that God created this world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And there will never be an act of science that reproduces creation and that recreates creation in a lab. There's no way that we can ever produce such an action in a lab so that we can say that by science that we understand that creation is true. It doesn't mean that there are not experiments that take place that confirm creation, but nevertheless, if we believe in creation, it is by faith today. And it is by the exercise of the faith that the Lord gave us in the new birth. Whenever the Lord gave us life, He gave us faith, and the presence of the faith does not define us. It is the exercise of the faith that God gave us that defines us, that creates this rapport. And certainly what we believe tonight to be true, it is something that creates a record and a report for us. I tell my oldest children often now, and I know this may seem old fashioned to some, but, you know, it's hard to say that things seem old fashioned to a bunch of old Baptists. We probably appreciate things that seem old fashioned. We appreciate the simplicity of being old fashioned. But from time to time, if I'm ever off to myself with my oldest two boys, there's things that I tell them that I want to make sure that they remember. And I hope it's things that they see in my life. I hope it's things that they see in my conduct and in my behavior. But I tell them, if something happens to me tonight, I want y'all to know some things about me. And I try to remind them and encourage them to remember that I believe with every ounce of my being that the Primitive Baptist Church is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I try to tell them to remember that their daddy believes with every ounce of my being that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is found among the Primitive Baptist people, and that they trace their lineage all the way back to the times in which Jesus Christ constituted his church, and that it in its original state and its original doctrine and practice still exists in this world today, and it's among the Primitive Baptists. And I believe with every ounce of my being that whenever we meet together with them, that we are doing what Jesus defined as true worship in John chapter 4, that they that worship me, that the true worshiper shall worship me in spirit and in truth. I try to tell them with every ounce of my being that I believe that Jesus Christ paid for my sins on the cross at Calvary, and that my only hope of glory is in him. And the reason why I mention these things about what I tell them that I want them to remember about me is the same thing that's listed in verse 3, and that is that our belief would define our report, that my faith in the Lord and that my faith in what he's done for me defines me. And it's not about that we're trying to create a good report as if that's the only thing that matters is the way that people view us. But I believe that in the creation of a good report about us, that we glorify God. And certainly if we say that our faith and that if our trust and faith is solely in him, it glorifies him. Verse 3 points us to how our faith, expresses our belief and our trust in the Lord. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. I believe that by the power of the voice of the Lord, that the heavens were framed, and that everything that we see today, that they were not made of things which do appear, but they were made by God himself. I believe that the same voice of God that created this world is the same voice from above that blew life into man. And the same voice and the same spirit that breathes life into man in the new birth. I believe these things. And I trust that just as these ones in Hebrews chapter 11 exercised their faith and obtained a good report, that those that have made a profession of their belief in this truth, that they are trusting in the same. The next thing we see in verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead, yet speaking. I know I've already mentioned the verse from Revelation chapter 14 and the 13th verse, that blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow. Here's, we're reading about Abel, and it says, and by it, in regards to his faith, he being dead, yet speaking. In other words, the actions that he took in his life, and the Bible tells us that whenever we read about the offerings of Cain and Abel, that Abel offered the lamb and Cain offered the fruit of the ground. He offered the work of his hands. I'm going to tell you, not only do I believe that our belief defined our report, that our faith and our exercise of our faith and what we profess to believe defined our report. I believe our sacrifice and our offerings define our report. You know, I understand today that in the New Testament dispensation that we have not been called upon to offer an animal sacrifice in our service to the Lord. Of course, Abel offered a lamb, and if we continue to read in the Old Testament, certainly we see the Levitical law that required offerings to be made, the blood of bulls and goats. They were offered in accordance with the law of the Lord, and that is the Old Testament dispensation law service. And in the New Testament dispensation, we haven't been called upon to offer things that are dead, because the offering that has already been made for us by the Lord Jesus Christ in his death on the cross at Calvary has been offered on our behalf. And in the New Testament dispensation, we're no longer called upon to make offerings and sacrifices of things which are dead. We've been called upon to make offerings and sacrifices of things which are alive. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. For this is your reasonable service. Our bodies are our sacrifice. Whenever we go to the house of God, and as we have done here tonight, whenever these hymns were selected, whenever we sing praises unto the Lord, that's the reason why the church has always believed that a cappella singing is the way in which we're to sing hymns of praise unto the Lord, because we're not playing and strumming something that is dead in order to offer the sacrifice. The death of the sacrifice that was required has already been made. We're required to offer something that's alive. And if we've been made alive, our voices are alive and our bodies are alive. And our very lives are offerings and sacrifices that we make. And whenever we serve the Lord in the New Testament dispensation, it requires sacrifice of us. And I believe that sacrifice is the same as just as Abel's sacrifice obtained a good report. I believe our sacrifices do the same. You know, I already interjected some conversation that I've had with my children in this message tonight. You know, since we've moved to this part of the country, coming up on 2 years ago, one of the things that we had never done, excuse me, very often is on a regular basis have church on Saturdays and Sunday too. The church I served in North Georgia, we met every Sunday, but here in this part of the country, in some of the churches, we still meet on Saturday, and we have enjoyed being able to get up not only on Sunday mornings but on Saturday mornings, and to be able to go to the house of God and worship the Lord. And certainly prior to moving down here, there was the occasion of the special meeting when we would go on Saturdays, but nothing like on a regularly scheduled basis. And one of the things that I would like for my children to remember from that experience is that whenever we go, and the reason why we go is to go and to praise the Lord for all the things that he's done for us. And there's no way for us to do that without us going to the place where we can praise him, without us offering our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Just like faith, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. His offering didn't make him righteous. And our offering doesn't make us righteous either. Our offering simply gives us witness that we have been made righteous. And we've been made righteous by none other than Jesus Christ, and by nothing of ourselves. By faith, Enoch. We've already seen, and I'm not going to go through everybody in Hebrews chapter 11. I, I'm afraid we'd start to drop off before we got through all of them. I'll just go through one or two more here. But he says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The scripture tells us back in Genesis chapter 5 that Enoch walked with God, and he was not. You know, just like Elijah was translated and taken up to glory, Enoch and Elijah, they never saw death. They were taken immediately into glory. Not only does our beliefs shape our report and our record, and not only does our offering shape our report and our record, our walk shapes our report and our record. Enoch walked with God, and he was no more. You know, I don't know, and I don't suppose that it would be something that would be a very humble question to ask somebody. That is to go up to somebody that you're around a whole lot and ask them if they were to define your walk, would they define it as being a walk with the Lord? But I do believe it's something that we should consider whenever we are deciding about one action or another. And that is, when I do this, does it bear reflection as I would desire to bear it in regards to my walk with the Lord? You know, the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 11 that they were called Christians first at Antioch. And this day and time, you know, one of the things that people ask others is, are you a Christian? You know, and I understand what people mean when they ask that. Most of the time when they ask that, they're asking you if you believe in Jesus. And I don't want to sound too harsh with what I'm about to say in regards to that subject. I believe that there's a lot of well-meaning people that are just trying to find a common point of conversation with you that are asking, are you a Christian? And certainly, and I've answered that. I try to be one every day. And I've also asked them, if you mean, do I believe in Jesus? The answer is yes. But you know, Christian, as it's taught to us in the scriptures and its origin of the term, is not what people called themselves. It's what others called them when they saw their behavior and they saw their walk and they saw their life. And here, Enoch is an example of a man of faith that by the faith of Enoch, that he walked with God and he was no more, that the Lord took him and that the Lord received him up into glory. And the Lord did not receive him up into glory because he accepted his walk and that made him a child of God. But the Bible records that Enoch, as being a child of God, walked with the Lord. And that's the testimony that he bore among those that saw him walk in that day. I want to tell you, I believe with every ounce of my being that the Lord has blessed us to be the partakers of truth that the Lord has given us in his word, and that we're blessed to be able to read it, and we're blessed to be able to have it at our fingertips. And if we're blessed to go among the saints of the Lord, we're blessed to hear that truth proclaimed in the form of the gospel here in this day and time. And certainly if the Lord has blessed us with such to be able to be partakers of that word and to be hearers of that word, surely in our lives, our walk would say that we've been doers of that word, just as Enoch was, and that our walk would be with the Lord. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that believeth, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again, you know, these men that we've read about here, Abel and Enoch, and if we continue to go to Noah and to Abraham, all of these men received faith the same way that you and I received faith. And faith was given to them by God. No man has ever just awoke one day and said, I think I'll have faith today. The only way that we have faith is that God gave us faith. And these men got faith the same way we got faith. But, you know, it was not the presence of their faith that made them as one that that bore their report and that made their report and their record. It was not the simple presence of it. Just as it was not the simple presence of the faith in the New Testament of the lady that had an issue of blood for 12 years that went and touched the garment of Jesus. It was not the presence of faith of Jairus that made him go and beseech the Lord that he would come to his house and heal his daughter. It was not the presence of the faith of the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. It was not just the presence of that faith that brought that story out in the scriptures. It is the exercise of that which God gave them. The Lord gave them faith. But you know, a lot of times our faith, if we don't use it and if we don't exercise it, not only will it not benefit us in regards to our report and record, but it won't bring the glory to God that certainly it can if we'll exercise it. And without faith, is it impossible to please him? And I think that's certainly true that the wicked, he's angry with the wicked every day, and they don't have faith. They don't please God, and they're in enmity with God. But I believe here he's not only saying that without faith, meaning the wicked, without the exercise of our faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, here, the next one, Noah. Imagine, you know, and if I go back to the book of Genesis and I see, and if I read the ages right, and that is that Noah was around 500 years of age whenever he bore his three sons, and the distance apart of the three boys, I don't know that we can really tell from scripture, but nevertheless, it says he was about 500 years of age whenever he bore them. The Bible tells us that he was about 600 years of age whenever the floodwaters came upon the earth. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, just a few verses down from when it tells us that he was 500 years old whenever he bore his sons. It tells us in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, that the time of man shall be about 120 years, that my soul shall not always strive with man. If I understand that right, then that means that even after the Lord had told Noah that he's going to destroy this world with a flood, Noah still bore children. Oh, what faith that Noah had in the Lord, that the Lord would deliver and in accordance with his will. And I tell you what great faith Noah had in things that he hadn't seen of yet, but he moved with fear to a preparing of an ark to the saving of his house. I want to tell you, these men serve as great examples. And if we were to continue to go down through this through this chapter of scripture, and we read of all the people of faith in the scriptures that is recorded for us, I believe this is the same list. If we go to the beginning of the next chapter, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we have so many examples of people that have lived a faithful life to the Lord. And I know the time that we live in today are unprecedented in comparison to what people that are alive now have seen. And I don't belittle the challenges of this day. I believe that they're real, and that we would be ignorant not to be mindful of some of the things and some of the levels of iniquity and wickedness that we're seeing. We would be ignorant just to say, everything is what it is. I don't really believe that would be wise of us to do. I think we need to be mindful of what's going on. But I believe we need to be mindful in light of the wisdom that God has given us in his word. And that is that these men that we've just read about here, look at the seasons that Noah lived in. And yet he stayed faithful. Yet he exercised his faith. And by it, he obtained a good report and a good record. You know, it's not about us just making sure that people remember how great we are behind us. That's not what I hope that you don't take that from this message. It's not about just these men. It's about the God that they served and the manner in which they exercised their faith and their service to him. And I believe that report that they gave and that record that was kept, I believe it glorified our God in heaven. And I believe in the times and the seasons in which we live. I believe if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, that we would continue to be faithful to the Lord in this season. That regardless of the circumstances of what's going on, that they be able to look at our beliefs and say that here's a report of one that believed what God said, regardless of what this world may say, this is what God said. That when they see us in our walk, that they'll say, here's someone that's walking with the Lord, regardless of the way that this world walks or the manner in which they walk. Here's one that trusts in the Lord, regardless of the gloom and doom that we hear. I want to tell you, whenever it comes to our future, yeah, it may not be so bright here, but I want to tell you it's bright over yonder. And you know, whenever there's an old hymn that used to say when the roll was called up yonder. Y'all know where yonder is. There's people on this call. I don't need to interpret yonder. You know where yonder is. And I want to tell you it's bright over yonder. It's a blessed place over there. And we have a hope that that's where we're going. And that should be where our heart is set, because we're pilgrims here. This is not our home. Our home is in glory. May the Lord bless us to live in such a way that our record and our report, not that we can keep it clean and spotless to the point where we want to be judged by our works and not by the Lord's, but that our record and report as observed by people here in this world, that the Lord would bless us to represent him as we should. That's what we've got tonight, Brother James. Thank y'all for asking us to come and be with you.